AK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Senate lawmakers expected to vote this afternoon on another round of stopgap measures, but both parties remain at odds over health care cuts in the GOP mega bill on Medicaid and the Affordable Care Act. President Trump today signaling that not all furloughed workers may be repaid. Here's ABC's Karen Travers.
He was asked a question about this, and he said, it depends on who we're talking about. He said, we're going to take care of our people, and some people really don't deserve to be taken care of, suggesting that some of the hundreds of thousands of furloughed workers right now, people who are off the job during the government shutdown and are not getting paid, would not get back pay as they have had done to them in every single shutdown before.
Today marks 2 years that the Hamas October 7th attacks occurred in Israel. Nearly 1,200 people died, hundreds of others taken hostage. Israel's war in Gaza after the attack has led to more than 67,000 deaths. On Wall Street, stocks were down. This is ABC News.
Start your day with me, Pam Yonke, every morning with the Midwest Farm Report, right here on 107.5 WLAK.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. Republican state lawmakers are circulating new legislation for co-sponsorship aimed at banning the future use of absentee ballot drop boxes in Wisconsin. Absentee ballot drop boxes had initially been banned following a 2022 decision by the conservative-controlled Wisconsin Supreme Court. That decision was overturned in 2024 with a liberal majority on the state's highest court. Even if the measure gains enough support to advance through the Republican-controlled state legislature, the bill would likely be vetoed by Democratic Governor Tony Evers. A Waukesha County judge has ordered the Wisconsin Elections Commission to start verifying the citizenship of both already registered voters and new applicants. The court order was issued by Circuit Court Judge Michael Maxwell on Friday, but does not specify exactly how the Wisconsin Elections Commission and local clerks should go about verifying citizenship for new voters. Judge Maxwell also called for the new process to be substantially completed prior to February's election, but his decision could be appealed and stayed before that. The Barron County Sheriff's Office is sharing additional details on the investigation into the shooting at a Candy Lane residence in the city of Barron last week. According to a press release, the 17-year-old suspect has died as a result of a self-inflicted gunshot wound. Authorities say the 17-year-old female victim, who was in a relationship with the suspect and pregnant, is in stable condition in the hospital. The child was also delivered in the hospital due to the injuries she sustained and is doing well. A male victim was pronounced deceased at the scene. Healthy Washco is inviting area residents to its upcoming second annual mental health wellness walk this week. Organization officials say the walk is meant to raise awareness and highlight the need for mental health resources in rural communities. The event will be held on Saturday beginning at 10 a.m. on the Spooner High School track. Registration for the walk is free, but residents can also purchase shirts at the event or online. The proceeds will cover the cost of the shirts, and any remaining funding will go towards supporting the Oak Youth Center. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
Another Brewers comeback. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, baseball. The Brewers with a 7-3 win over the Cubs last night in Milwaukee. The crew now up 2-0 in the best of five series, which now moves to Chicago tomorrow afternoon, just after 4 o'clock. Manager Pat Murphy.
How does this team have the best record in baseball? Nobody predicted they'd be over 500. And then we have all the injuries. Certainly nobody was banking on us.
Home runs from Andrew Vaughn, Jackson Churio, and William Contreras, who says he dedicates it to the fans.
I'm going to do everything for the Brewer fans. I'm going to do everything for my teammate. I want to be one of the best on the plate. I want to be the best catcher. They have to look control how play. I want to bring that energy too for the team. And now it's showtime.
The Cubs now down 2-0.
After getting off to a great start, those mistakes were 2-3-run homers is going to be, you're not going to win playoff games giving up 2-3-run homers. That was just too much to overcome.
That's Cubs manager Craig Counsell with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
You're listening to 107.5 WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. A mix of sunshine, a few clouds around the area heading into your Tuesday afternoon. Northwest winds and highs in the low to mid 60s. Tonight, frosty out there with clear skies. Lows will drop into the lower 30s. Frost advisory in effect. It's 63 at our studios.
From Eau Claire to Green Bay.
Oh, my goodness, a powerful run to the house.
house.
And Milwaukee to Madison.
Under duress, and it's a safety.
The tradition of Badger football lives here.
Touchdown, Wisconsin.
Join us Saturday. It's the Badgers and Hawkeyes at Camp Randall. Our coverage begins at 4.
Now we'll get rolling.
On your home for Wisconsin football.
Looking pressured and sacked.
The Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
Ahoo, this is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we share stories from Turtle Island highlighting the people and issues shaping our communities. From protecting water to treaty rights and preserving languages and traditions, we cover it all. Hear voices like Arvina Martin of Emerge Wisconsin, Dr. Stately, Robert Lilligren, and more. Because Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Wisconsin farmers and tariffs. He's the president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union. Darren Von Ruden will join us. I hope you can too.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK. Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
From Milwaukee to Marshfield, where passion meets purpose and policy meets people, this is the Maggie Dawn Show.
I wouldn't get on this program with all of you fine folks every day and talk about how to do that through voting and through speaking out. I'm here with you every day.
Get ready to challenge the status quo with a fresh perspective on the issues that matter to you.
What are you doing as an elected official? You have no business in an elected office.
Breaking down the complex world of policy and politics with clarity, conviction, and just the right amount of fun.
Go Pack Go.
Go Pack Go.
Thank you for having me.
Lawyer, economist, and fearless advocate for the truth. Here is Maggie Dawn.
Welcome, everyone, and happy Tuesday afternoon. I'm Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm going to be joined this afternoon for the first hour by my good friend and yours, former U.S. Attorney James Santel, to help us all make sense of the seemingly conflictual federal district court rulings about Donald Trump's apparent deployment of Texas National Guardsmen and women in Oregon or Illinois or maybe elsewhere, or California National Guard troops in Illinois or Oregon. What is even happening? We're going to get into all of that, but I've got a bit of breaking news to cover with you all first. Obviously, we know this isn't quite news, but I'm going to break it with you at the top of the show here. As we all know, we've got the No Kings protest coming up on October 18th. You can go to nokings.org, find out where one of those gatherings is going to be close to home. They are all across the country. Those mobilization efforts, the planned events, the locations, the number of people expected, already far exceeding the first round of these protests from back in June. That was on June 14th. So this is supposed to be much, much bigger. And if you happen to live in the southeastern Wisconsin area, maybe you listen to me on the station that I come to all of you from, which is WAUK. Now you can find that station, of course, on 101.3 FM as well as 540 AM. If you're in the southeastern Wisconsin area, none other than yours truly, Maggie Dawn, will be emceeing the No Kings protest that will be occurring starting at Cathedral Square in downtown Milwaukee. So if you want to see me in action in 3D, come on down. It's going to be the place to be here in southeastern Wisconsin. But again, protests all across the state and the nation. Check out where one is. Register to attend. You can go to nokings.org. In fact, we're going to have one of the No Kings protest founders with us on this fine program on October 16th, just a couple of days. That's a Thursday before the No Kings protest on October 18th. So mark your calendars for both dates. Check out one of the founders here on the show on October 16th. And of course, be at those gatherings on October 18th. Also want to issue a big, big thank you to all of our fine listeners who participated in Civic Media's multi-state text to win. Go for the green and gold. We gave away some amazing prizes. Just wanted to congratulate Ron and Madison, who listens on WMDX, Angie from Hammond listening on WSCM. We've got Luann listening and Amory on WLAK, a bunch of other listeners, including Dave and Kenosha on WRJN, and our grand prize winner, Dennis from Minocqua, listening on CQM. Thank you, everybody. Congratulations to our prize winners. It has been a pleasure to bring that contest to you for the last couple of weeks to kick off this big fall season of sports. Of course, we got the Packers playing. They had a bye week this past weekend. That gave us all time to be focused in on those Milwaukee Brewers. We're going to talk about the Brewers a little bit more in the 5 o'clock hour, which we have dedicated entirely to sounding off. This is your opportunity to participate in this show. What's been on your mind? The news comes fast and furious. We can barely keep up with it here at Civic Media. So you can talk to us about what is top of mind for you. We're going to do that today at 5 p.m. I got a couple of two, three things I want to sound off about the Brewers, about some of it dealing with their announcing, some of it dealing with the home plate umpire yesterday at the game. I was there, one of the most amazing, exciting baseball games I've been to in quite some time. But of course, the bulk of that sound off segment for a full hour this afternoon will be talking about politics. With all of that, let's turn to actual breaking news. Folks, Wisconsin's Attorney General Josh Call announcing today he is not running for governor and that he will seek re-election to be Wisconsin's Attorney General. I gotta say, I'm not super surprised to see that from the Attorney General, given the crowded field of all of candidates that have already declared on the Democratic side with high name recognition. So again, not super surprised to see that. In other statewide news, there was a little kerfuffle, perhaps I could call it. Democratic State Senator Tim Carpenter has been removed from a legislative committee following a heated dispute about Republican legislation that would ban public funds from covering health care for undocumented immigrants. Apparently, during this discussion, Senator Carpenter reached over the table where the lawmakers were seated and tried to take the gavel away from committee chairman Senator Chris Kapanga of Delafield. Just as a reminder, under federal law, folks that are here without documents cannot receive Medicare, Medicaid, or any ACA coverage or a subsidy under ACA coverage. The only way that someone who is here that is undocumented gets any health care under any of those programs, you can thank that the president that enacted that law was Ronald Reagan. You can thank Republicans for that. Ronald Reagan signing the EMTALA law back in the 1980s, which means if somebody shows up in an emergency room, you don't get to ask them for their citizenship documents if they are dying of a heart attack. Hospitals are required to provide care. Again, Republicans that might want to shut that off, basically what you're going to do is guarantee the closure of rural hospitals because they won't get reimbursed for that coverage that they provide. Also today, some news from Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley. He said this today. He's going to make repealing Wisconsin's defunct same-sex marriage ban a priority if elected governor, pledging to lead the fight to do so by calling a special session of the legislature. I think this is absolutely terrific. Kudos to Mr. County Executive. Why is this so important? Well, because we have a Supreme Court that is unmoored from reality, no longer represents the beliefs or the viewpoints of the vast majority of Americans, including when it comes to basic freedoms like who we get to marry, you know, that kind of stuff. And I do think that there is a legitimate risk that gay marriage gets overturned by the Supreme Court under the same sort of fig leaf guise of, oh, well, we'll just let the states figure it out. So getting rid of this ban here in the state of Wisconsin is absolutely essential. Good on you, Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley. In other breaking news, and we'll discuss this more again in the 5 o'clock hour, Donald Trump is now saying that they may not pay furloughed federal workers that are not showing up for work right now because of the shutdown, which we can thank Republicans for. But it's not all of them that might not get paid, just, you know, the ones that Donald Trump doesn't like. I can't believe that this type of thing comes out of the president's mouth. We are talking about civil servants. We are talking about people who do their job in a nonpartisan way, many of whom have made serving the American people their life's work. Here's the respect that the Cheeto in Chief gives to these people who have given to you and me and everyone in this country for their entire careers. Let's take a listen to this cut, cut three.
Is it the White House's position that furloughed workers should be paid for their back pay?
I would say it depends on who we're talking about. I can tell you this, the Democrats have put a lot of people in great risk and jeopardy, but it really depends on who you're talking about. But for the most part, we're going to take care of our people. There are some people that really don't deserve to be taken care of, and we'll take care of them in a different way. Okay? Thank you.
That's insane. It's also illegal. Very, very illegal. I'm going to leave it there. We've got so much to talk about. Welcome to the program, former U.S. Attorney for the Eastern District of Wisconsin, James Santel, of course, host of his Saturday morning show across this network, Amicus, a Law Review. Thanks for being here, Jim.
Maggie, always good to be with you. On that last story, as you know well, I was one of those officials during a shutdown who had to look at, as you just described them accurately, hardworking civil servants showing up, again, without getting a paycheck right now, and now being told by the president that when this is all over, whenever this lunacy is all over, you're not going to get paid for any of it. It is beyond just an employment issue. It goes to the basic core of who we are as a nation. And telling those civil servants, as you said, some of you maybe so, I'll take a look at it. Some of you maybe not. What is the deciding factor on that? It is just the president's latest outrageous statement about the population of good working civil servants in our nation.
Yeah, it's there's simply no place for that. There should be no place for that from any politician, least of which the president of the United States. So he's somehow going to discern the personal political beliefs of tens of thousands of federal workers and pay those that maybe voted for him, but not pay those that didn't vote for him? And how, pray tell, would he suss that out? Might it be the seizure of voting records from states, which is also unconstitutional since the federal government has nothing to do with the administration of elections? That was a specific separation of powers and authorities that our founders were very clear about, you know, to prevent a president from trying to steal elections by, I don't know, again, seizing voting machines and voting records. This is absolutely insane. By the way, a South Carolina judge's home exploded. I think it just happened yesterday. This judge became the ire of MAGA because she ruled that the Trump administration couldn't seize voting records in South Carolina. She got doxxed online by the MAGA far right. They don't think at this point in time, I haven't read anything that's attributing it to arson, but just shocking times. The idea, this very concept that, well, we'll pay those that are on our side. None of the civil service, Mr. President, is on your side or Democrat's side. They're on nobody's side but the American people. How dare you insert that kind of litmus testing to pay whether or not to pay people? It is unconscionable. And here is, we'll take this last sound. This is Speaker of the House. I'm going to call him sycophant number one, Mike Johnson, saying effectively the same thing. They might not pay some federal workers. Take a listen to this.
It is true that in previous shutdowns, many or most of them have been paid for the time that they were furloughed. But there is new legal analysis. I don't know the details. I just saw a headline this morning. I'm not read in on it, and I haven't spoken to the White House about it. But there are some legal analysts who are saying that that may not be appropriate or necessary in terms of the law requiring that back pay be provided. So I'm sure that'll be there will be a lot of discussion about that.
Unbelievable. Like the Speaker of the House, well, I haven't read it. I don't know anything about it. But, you know, it may be appropriate to just stiff arm certain federal employees.
Right.
And a reminder, folks, none of this is necessary at all. None of it. If Republicans would simply be honest with the American people about the restoration of the ACA insurance credits and subsidies, none of which go to undocumented folks, to ensure that working Americans, farmers, small business owners, those that work for employers that don't provide health insurance can continue to access health insurance. We continue this discussion on the other side. I'm Maggie Dawn, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK. The Todd Allbaugh Show.
The incomparable Jane Matner. You're a coffee drinker.
I got up at 3 o'clock in the morning for most of my career. Yeah. You need coffee.
Something.
Or a slap across the face or something. How much coffee do you drink a day? How many cups
not
of coffee?
Not as much as you might think. Maybe 2 16-ounce cups, more or less. Maybe not quite that much some days.
Zahmer, is that true?
I mean, from what I can verify, I don't know what he drinks in the privacy of his own home.
No right. One knows.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app, Matinair on Air.
He joins us every Friday at this time for some recombobulation. He is also Civic Media's political editor. Dan Schaefer is here.
Tom Tiffany has made it official. He is running for governor. I think he is a Trump endorsement and a strong fundraising quarter away from clearing the field.
Well, but Tony Weed has endorsed him, which is like being Trump adjacent.
It's like the transitive property of endorsements.
Yes.
The 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon, only just sad.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Nobody had to tell your grandparents not to drive while using their typewriters. Why should it be any different for us kids and our cell phones? Distracted driving was the cause of more than 3,000 deaths in 2022. Come on, we're smarter than this. Let's put down the phones and focus on the roads. Drive safe, everybody.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
I was stuck in a state of panic and endless rituals, so I made the call.
Mental health care works when you make the call. Visit mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to 107.5 WLAK, Amory's home for the Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome back, everybody. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. As if Donald Trump, you know, just threatening from the Oval Office to pay, you know, the friendlies that work in the federal government, but not the ones that maybe didn't vote for him. Again, totally illegal. As if that wasn't enough of a what in the heck is going on moment, I had to share this with you. Apparently, Marjorie Taylor Greene is breaking away from the Republican Party. We don't know if that means leaving. What? And it is all about the shutdown. This is MTG, everybody. Not a Democrat, obviously. Here is what she wrote on X today. I'm carving my own lane, and I'm absolutely disgusted that health insurance premiums will double if the tax credits expire this year. Yeah, folks, that would be former Republican Marjorie Taylor Greene saying what all of the Democrats have been saying and making plain the lie that's being told over and over and over and over again by Donald Trump, Mike Johnson, and every other talking head Republican on faux news, OAN, and the like. She went on to say, while she doesn't like the ACA, which she used a swear word to describe, or insurance in general, She means that she noted that the expiration of the subsidies means premiums will skyrocket. Quote, I'm going to go against everyone on this issue because when the tax credits expire this year, my own adult children's insurance premiums for 2026 are going to double, along with all the wonderful families and hardworking people in my district. She complained that her Republican colleagues in Congress are willing to let those subsidies expire while funding foreign wars. Jim, just to get a comment from you, and we'll go to the phone lines in a moment. Isn't it interesting that once it finally impacts an elected official's family, they're like, maybe that's a thing.
Right. Absolutely. When it comes around the breakfast table and suddenly realize your spouse, your son, your daughter, your uncle who happens to be sleeping on the couch overnight, all of a sudden it affects you. Then suddenly you become aware of the impact of some of the things you've been saying and doing, and it becomes real, as it has been, Maggie, as you just said, as she implicitly said, for all the other Americans who lived under this for such a long period of time. Other political people out there, I recall very well, a United States senator who suddenly came around to appreciating LGBTQIA issues when his son announced that he was gay.
Yeah.
Nancy Reagan, right? And certain medical treatments, those kinds of things. Suddenly, when it becomes a part of your own family, you appreciate the significance of it. And while we're happy to have that resurrection, that revelation inside that those brains going on, join the crowd, join the people who are rational thinkers, still, it makes you wonder about the reason for their being in these positions in the first place if you have no empathy, no appreciation for the other who you represent.
She's also making it clear that Republicans get lied to by other Republicans,
right?
She said this on X, no, I'm not going to toe the party line on this nor play loyalty games. Not a single Republican in leadership talked to us about this or has given us a plan to help Americans deal with their health insurance premiums doubling. I think this is a major problem within the GOP and the MAGA regime is that their own leaders don't tell them the truth about the bills that they're voting for. I think there's no excuse. They're paid to understand it. But I think many of them are lied to by their very own leadership. And when you see Mike Johnson on TV day after day after day after day, lying about what federal law is day after day after day, it makes one wonder if they actually do want to have a legitimate discussion about how to improve healthcare access for working Americans. Let's go to the
phone.
Go ahead.
There's accessibility on Capitol Hill. You and I both know this. Other lawyers know this. That's what staffers are there on Capitol Hill to do, to tell you what is good, what is bad. A lot of them, yes, indeed, are trained in the law because they're working on legislation. They're putting together the language. They're talking about what all this means. And you can have access to those kinds of people to get the information you need, unless, as you're indicating, as the news is indicating, you're being denied it by leadership.
Yeah. Jake from Milwaukee, say hello to Jim Santel. What you got for us?
Hey, Jake.
Yeah, hello. I just want to bring up the fact that the longer that the shutdown lasts, the narrative of the doubling of rates for people who are just having insurance, not even through the ACA, is going to go up, and that Mike Johnson and Republicans protect child rapists. And those two things are going to go longer and longer, and the narrative is already set for them because this is what's been I've been hearing, unless you just listen to Fox News and one of those other propaganda outlets.
It's crazy. Jake, just to jump in here, Mike Johnson then got on Face the Nation with Margaret Brennan yesterday and complained that it was so quiet in the halls of Congress. She checked him right back. Why is it quiet? Because you guys don't frankly negotiate in good faith. You lie. And oh yeah, Mike Johnson sent all of the Congress people home this week. You know, nothing to do here. Take a listen to this sniveling man.
Good morning to you, Speaker. Anyone up there to negotiate with? There's not, Margaret. Good morning. Good to hear your voice. It's kind of quiet around here. It has been for the last several days, and it's very unfortunate because as we're talking, real people are being adversely affected around the country, and some in very substantial ways. I pray that more Democrats in the Senate will come to their senses and do the right thing, and when they have the next opportunity on Monday to vote to open the government, I surely hope that they will.
We lost the Brennan piece of that, but what she says to him, and she fact checks him and says, yeah, it's quiet there because you sent all of the House members home to their districts to do district work this week. What a load of hooey from the Speaker of the House. It's quiet because you made it quiet, Mike. Come on, man. When we get back, Jim is going to help us break down the dueling decisions by a district court judge in Oregon and a district court judge in Illinois, and which National Guard troops are going where and why? Maybe they're coming to a town near you. Stay tuned. I'm Maggie Dawn, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
Start your day with me, Pam Yonke, every morning with the Midwest Farm Report, right here on 107.5 WLAK.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. A bipartisan group of state lawmakers have introduced legislation seeking to expand hunting opportunities for disabled military veterans in Wisconsin. The proposed bill would allow those disabled veterans to hunt deer of either sex during any Wisconsin firearm deer hunting season. Active service military members currently receive the same benefit. The new legislation would extend the benefit to veterans with a disability rating of 50% or greater, as well as those receiving compensation benefits due to being unemployable as a result of their disability. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is now accepting seedling orders for trees and shrubs to be planted next spring. According to a press release, the goal of the program is to support reforestation and conservation efforts with native tree seedlings on both public and private lands across the state. Tree seedlings planted will also go towards Wisconsin's Trillion Trees pledge of planting 100 million trees across the state by 2030. Seedling orders can be placed on the Department of Natural Resources website or by mail. Ashland School District officials say the closure of Northland College last spring could have a significant impact on their staffing going forward. According to a Fox 21 report, Superintendent Rob Prater says about 15% of the district's staff were Northland College graduates. They say they managed to fill staffing gaps this year through job fairs, as well as hiring people who had previously worked at Northland College. District officials are also expressing concerns about losing some of the development programs it offered in partnership with the college. Proposed legislation that would see the construction of a production plant converting woody biomass into aviation fuel in Hayward will be discussed in a state Senate committee this week. The Forestry Revitalization Act will be up for public comment in the Senate Insurance, Housing, Rural Issues, and Forestry Committee on Thursday. The proposed facility would be funded with $60 million in Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation tax credits, as well as $150 million in state bonding through the forestry account. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. It's been said that nothing good happens after midnight, even when something might seem harmless, like doing wind sprints behind a bar at 12:30 a.m. Former Jets quarterback and Fox News analyst Mark Sanchez was doing just that after several drinks, apparently, early Saturday morning. It led to a physical altercation with a much older man, which is still under investigation. It was first reported that Sanchez was in critical condition with stab wounds, but now it's come out that he might have been the instigator of the incident that involved a 69-year-old grease truck driver. According to security tapes, both men, despite getting physical, were trying to record each other with their phones. Authorities say Sanchez body slammed the man to the ground and beat him up a bit before being stabbed two or three times, at which point Sanchez ran off. Mark Sanchez was arrested while recovering in the hospital, but has since been released. More details are sure to follow with this strange incident. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Catch Farm Report updates throughout the day from the Midwest Farm Report, right here on 107.5 WLAK.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. A mix of sunshine, a few clouds around the area heading into your Tuesday afternoon. Northwest winds and highs in the low to mid 60s. Tonight, frosty out there with clear skies. Lows will drop into the lower 30s. Frost advisory in effect. Currently 62 degrees.
where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Dr. Kristen Lierley.
At what point are we as a society going to stand up and say, hey, wait a minute, something's wrong here? This is just the latest attack on women, on trying to control our bodies. They want women to have more babies. They don't want us to have birth control. They don't want us to get abortions. They don't want us to take medications. They want us to be in pain. They don't want us to have hospitals to be able to go to. They're defunding all of our rural hospitals.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, comedian Jim Flanagan joins to talk a Wisconsin date. Then a mystery guest drops by. Let's light it up Tuesday style.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome if you're just joining us. I'm Maggie Dawn. You are listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm joined for this first hour by former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel. Jim, there was just an absolute flurry of activity this weekend and into this week in federal courts considering Donald Trump's desire to treat our cities as training grounds for our military and federalized National Guards based on lies, innuendo, and fear tactics about crime rates, which in every city that he's purporting to send these troops to is down according to the federal government's own data, FBI data, as well as local police. So explain to us, we've got different rulings in Illinois and Oregon, and what were the rulings about? And then it seemed like in response to the Oregon federal ruling, the Trump administration tried to pull a fast one. So let's start with what was ruled by an Oregon federal court judge this weekend, and then what happened next? Because order here is important.
Right. There's a lot going on. It's circuitous, as one of our professors used to say.
Yes.
But this is a judge named Karen Immergut, Immergut. She's a district court judge. She's in Portland. She is responding to what's going on there. And yes, on Saturday, just a few days ago, she issues an order. Federal judges' orders mean something, right? And she says, you know what? This is federalizing the Guard. This is a presidential overreach. Can't do it. Donald Trump, do not take the Oregon military and federalize them in this way. Can't do it. So somebody at the White House, presumably on Sunday or so, comes up with the harebrained, and it is harebrained idea. While she's talking about the Oregon National Guard, maybe we'll bring some people in from another state. Ha ha, how clever we are, right? And she gets on the phone on Sunday night, which is not unheard of. Lawyers are never off call, so to speak.
Right.
And she gets everybody together and she reads them the riot act. And she says, quite literally, what are you doing? I ordered that you can't do it. Do not engage in this semantic language with me. And she says, no, Donald Trump, you can't bring in the National Guard from another state. And I'm now ordering for everybody in the United States of America. Nobody, none of these folks can come in from any other state. And she stops it, at least as long as people like Stephen Miller and others abide by what federal judges are doing. Then we come to the Midwest, just to the south of us here, Maggie. And this is another federal judge. Her name is April Perry. She's got a similar lawsuit brought by the Attorney General in Illinois, challenging what's going on just to the south of us there, this threatened deployment of National Guard there. And she, interestingly, she declines just yesterday to enter the same kind of order that Judge Immergut did. And she says, okay, I'm going to give you until Wednesday night, which is tomorrow night, to file some briefs. And I'm going to have a hearing on Thursday morning. But in the meantime, National Guard troops, maybe from Texas now, are heading to Illinois after the judge declines to specifically enjoin them. This is absolute meltdown craziness, not only because of what is going on in terms of law enforcement, military not needed, as you said, to address problems that do not exist, but now we've got litigation of the highest order of an emergency nature because of Donald Trump's actions here. So we do have, and it may well be that the judge in the Northern District of Illinois may enter the same order. Maybe on Thursday, when we're talking about this, we will be looking at it in the same way that Judge Imbergut did that in Oregon. But right now we've got a true mess caused by our president in doing something that didn't have to begin with. Again, as we've talked about so many times, this meshing of domestic law enforcement and military forces intended for different purposes, trained in different ways, it is bound to be disastrous. And it's not only bad policy, it is scary. It's not in the best interest. The safety, the security of people in Chicago, in Portland, you name it, anywhere, the District of Columbia, this is lunacy once again in public policy.
There's a couple of things that I think at a really high level, and if people just step back off the partisan brink for a moment, are very clear warning flags. The first one is the fact that you have had so many lawsuits about this very concept, mm-hmm. the use of military, active duty military, and or National Guard in ways that they weren't intended. And the fact that we've got conflicting court decisions, and the fact that we've got a Republican governor in Texas saying, well, sure, I'll send the National Guard from Texas to Illinois or Oregon, while you've got Democratic governors saying, I haven't asked for this help, and though the National Guard can be used in disaster response and legally to secure federal personnel or buildings, that's not that. That might be what the Trump administration says they're doing, but that's not what's actually happening. It's an intimidation force, right, that is meant to basically bully people into not protesting. Okay, that tells you that this is partisan. That the use of our National Guard is partisan. That should be extremely concerning to Republicans of good faith right alongside Democrats and independents. It should not be a partisan question as to how, when, or by whom and to where the National Guard is being deployed. The second thing that I wanted to point out at a very high level is it is not disputable that a federal judge issued an order. This is a Trump-appointed federal judge in Oregon, this is Judge Karen Imbergut, issued an order, and the Trump administration, in response, said, I'll be too cute by half. Mm-hmm. And she said, Oregon, in her order, we'll just send them from California and Texas. That is the epitome of bad faith. If they wanted to do that, they could have asked the judge when she made that initial order. They could have asked for clarification in writing, in the public docket. They could have told her what they were doing. That is what folks in the Department of Justice and in the administration writ large, part of DHS, Mr. Miller himself, would do if they were good faith actors. The fact that you're seeing overt partisan political use of the National Guard, plus, there is simply no way to argue with a straight face that the Trump administration is making any actual effort to abide by court orders or simply to try to follow the rule of law in a way that would maybe dial back the temperature a bit is to me what is really concerning. And I say to my Republican friends who may be listening, conservatives of good faith, those that may have misgivings about what you're seeing, what happens if Democrats do something like this? Because we have now approached a race to the bottom What happens if a Democratic presidential administration with leadership in the DOJ starts flouting court orders and reading their way around them? What if they start using the National Guard in a way to intimidate Republican voters? Why is that acceptable? It's such a dark moment to see those things. And again, if you scrub it of the partisanship, Jim, and you simply look at what has happened, the facts are not disputable. You have flouting of court orders and a political use of the National Guard, two things which no American should ever be okay with.
Absolutely. And we have seen this in this area. You and I have talked about what happened beginning as long ago as March 15th, when again, this Justice Department, presumably with the encouragement of the Attorney General, people like Emile Beauvais and others, said, you know what? It is okay to tell federal judges, we're not doing that. No, dissemble with them, lie to them, whether it's about deportees to foreign nations, whether it's about the status of funds, whether it is about the deployment of military National Guard around the nation. Emile Beauvais, in that fairly well-confirmed meeting with some of the internal Department of Justice folks, I will not repeat the word, Maggie, on your wonderful show, right, but basically said, you can tell the judges to take a flying leap. What, again, to ask your not just rhetorical question, what happens if in another administration there is a different principal associate deputy attorney general who says, right, you know what, with respect to other judges out there, we don't have to follow it. The attorney general has talked about how judges don't have power. Tom Holman has talked about how their judges have no power. The president of the United States of America, who sets the tone on these things, has not only engaged in name calling, but has also indicated federal judges, And that, again, constitutional crisis, absolutely. Authoritarian approach to all of this, absolutely. What if that day comes when we have another presidency? America continues, and that same attitude, those same policies, practices inside the Department of Justice, inside U.S. attorneys' offices, continue, and it is directed in another direction. That's the long-term issue.
I'm disturbed by this, the politicization of the military, which if what we've outlined today isn't enough, you just need to listen to what Donald Trump said before 800 of our nation's top generals last week. If you don't believe that Donald Trump is trying to instill loyalty tests throughout the federal rank and file, civil servants, career public servants, you need only listen to what the president said this morning in the Oval Office about paying those furloughed workers that he favors and not paying those that he disfavors based on what facts God only knows, what invasion of privacy God only knows. If you don't believe that Donald Trump has tried to weaponize the federal government and provide direct orders to his U.S. attorneys and his attorney generals and his deputy attorney generals as to whom to prosecute, i.e. his political enemies hit list, written down conveniently by Kash Patel, the director of the FBI, in a book, then you only need to listen to Pam Bondi's testimony before the Senate Judiciary Committee today, of which I've got a ton of sound, and we'll get to that in the 5 o'clock hour. You need only look to a charging document for Jim Comey that is literally like less than 250 words. And the fact that he had to fire the U.S. attorney that wouldn't seek that indictment because he didn't think there were any facts sufficient to get anywhere close to beyond a reasonable doubt, which is, by the way, the standard for prosecutions in the DOJ, and instead handpicked what, an insurance lawyer who was what, Miss Colorado one time, but is perfectly personally loyal to go after Jim Comey. This is clear. If you are willing to engage with facts about what is happening, and you can't pound the table and claim that weaponization of the DOJ and lawfare is bad, and then on the other side say, oh, but it's just fine since it's my folks. And to be clear about this, Jim, and I wanted to get you to just comment very briefly. Let's set this up a little bit. I want to talk about the Jim Comey indictment.
Yes.
And I want to contrast that. There's been a ton of hubbub on social media about this unclassified FBI form that came out about a number of folks that needed to look at the, who had toll records from Washington, D.C. area looked at, including Senator Graham, Senator Hawley. And I want you, a prosecutor, to help us understand why that was perfectly legitimate given the prefatory evidence that indicated a high likelihood, probable cause plus, that a crime was committed versus the nonsense against Jim Comey. That's coming up next with U.S. Attorney Jim Santow and me, Maggie Dawn.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
School sports are played by humans, coached by humans, and officiated by humans. So the next time you're sitting in the stands at a school athletic event, please remember this and maintain your humanity, especially when it comes to judging and critiquing athletes, coaches, and officials. Please show your fellow humans some respect. They'll appreciate your empathy.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In recent weeks, the level of activity from Immigrations and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, has increased quite a bit. There was a raid in Manitowoc at a Walmart parking lot where dairy workers were known to congregate, a series of arrests in Madison, and in Milwaukee, ICE is looking to expand its operations significantly by seeking office space downtown to go along with a new field office on the city's northwest side. This has been concerning for many, and not without reason. A recent large-scale ICE raid in an apartment building in Chicago saw reports of armed federal agents breaking down doors, U.S. citizens detained for hours on end, and children being dragged from their homes in the middle of the night. While the American immigration system has a host of problems, this kind of violent show of force is not an acceptable way to address these problems. And ICE also just received an injection of $45 billion in the One Big Beautiful Bill, so it is imperative for all of us to hold ICE accountable and speak out when things go too far. Right now, things are going way too far.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. August 25th, a Utah judge ordered a new congressional redistricting map drawn after finding the legislature had violated the state constitution. October 6th, the legislature defiantly passed a new gerrymandered map. The legislature had previously passed legislation to neutralize Better Boundaries Proposition 4, a voter-approved independent redistricting commission passed in 2018. It ignored the commission's maps and created its own gerrymandered maps benefiting the Republican Party. Both acts were ruled unconstitutional. Third District Court Judge Diana Gibson set November 10th as a deadline for choosing a new map. October 6th, the legislature selected option C as their choice. The map, while slightly more competitive, appears to still lock in U.S. House seats for Republicans, according to the Utah News-Dispatch. It also passed a bill changing Proposition 4's language and requirements. The legislature is not the only stakeholder proposing maps. Plaintiffs, Mormon Women for Ethical Government and the League of Women Voters, also submitted two options on October 6th, both of which comply with Proposition 4's original criteria. Republicans argue only the legislature can approve the final map, not a judge, and hinted at impeachment if she doesn't approve the legislature's map. We've linked to the local reporting at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome back, everybody, and welcome if you're just joining us. My name is Maggie Dawn. You are listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. I got former U.S. Attorney James Santow with me through the bottom or the top of this hour, starting at 5 o'clock. We're going to have Sound Off, the Tuesday edition. We can talk about anything that you want to from the news, sports, pop culture arena. We'll start taking your calls right at the top of the hour, 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. 75 Civic phone and text lines are open. So join us for that. Before the break, Jim, I wanted you to explain to people the difference between the investigation into senators, including Ron Johnson, relating to the false elector scheme in in 2020. These were fraudulent documents that were intended to ostensibly steal an election that led to an insurrection on that day. Senators Graham, Hawley, Ron Johnson, Blackburn, to name a few, Tuberville, they had staffers and or themselves received these fraudulent documents, which were themselves a crime for which people have been prosecuted. Some have already pled out. And the senators passed these along or directed staff to do so, thereby leading to probable cause plus that they committed a crime. There's nothing outlandish, nor conspiratorial, nor inappropriate about the FBI investigating that. And yet the right-wingers on social media are flipping out about this. Explain to folks the difference between that and other investigations by the FBI about the January 6th insurrection and what's going on with Jim Comey.
Right. It is quite literally night and day. And you laid it out perfectly, Maggie. What you've got is six, seven different states. You've got false electors, right? They put together a document that, again, there are variations depending upon the state, basically saying, I'm an elector, which is wrong. That's a false statement its face. And oh, by the way, in my particular state, Donald Trump won, for example, right here in Wisconsin. That is a demonstrably provable, situation where, again, we're talking about 2020, not the most recent election.
Yes.
That also a false statement. That is in violation of federal law. And so what happens is and when it's passed on to people to do what? To accomplish the overturning of a federal election involving people who have the ability to do it, to get those documents onto the floor of the House, arguably to be counted, that is indeed more than sufficient to open a file. Again, you don't need a lot. You don't need probable cause, but I would offer here that's exactly it. And those false statements, the conspiracy that wraps around it, entirely legitimate for the FBI to investigate, to interview people, to determine exactly what the intent was, what the purpose was, night and day when it comes to the Jim Comey situation. Here, I think you've got, if the U.S. attorney in Eastern Virginia has got this sort of right, you've got Jim Comey allegedly telling his second in command, either do or do not engage with the media. That in of itself then becomes a false statement according to the indictment by virtue of his being asked the question about that and his saying, no, I didn't do that. False statements are not prosecutable if in fact they're true, right? And he's saying, I didn't do
because
that.
Because it's not false. Yeah.
It's not false, right?
It's thin. It's so thin. It's barely worth the paper it's written on. I wanted to take the sound from Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson. Keep in mind, Ron Johnson knowingly passed along fraudulent documents trying to overturn the 2020 election. I got a question for Attorney General Josh Call. Where's the charges against Ron Johnson? But listen to him make up stuff out of thin air on Faux News yesterday.
This doesn't surprise me. It should shock, it should outrage every American. Quite honestly, by now, it should be obvious to every American that it's not the Republicans that are a threat to our democracy. It's President Obama, it's President Biden, it's the radical leftists that have served and support them. This is outrageous.
Obama's not president, sir. Biden isn't president. This was a legitimate investigation of yourself, other senators, Representative Kelly, for passing along documents that you knew were fraudulent. In any other country, those folks would be facing prosecutions. I should say in any other well-functioning democracy, which we are not anymore, those folks would be facing prosecutions. Instead, he's getting on national news networks and talking about a guy that last held the Oval Office in 2016 into January of 17, the man's lost his marbles as far as I'm concerned.
And Maggie, you made the point earlier. It warrants underscoring. In the Jim Comey situation, we had a number of people, including the FBI, including a U.S. attorney, arguably the deputy attorney himself, all looking at this and saying, there is nothing there. You had multiple layers of prosecutors and investigators saying, we're not going to charge this. Somebody lost their job because they refused to go ahead. In all of these other situations, the other false false electors. And this particular investigation, nobody looked at this and said, I'm leaving, I'm going to be fired because there's no there there. Everyone said, yes, indeed, this should be pursued. And if anything, as you just indicated, the fault lies in not going more aggressively as to those people who are involved in this attempt to overthrow the 2020 election on Capitol Hill on that day.
Not a single frontline AUSA, not a single reported FBI agent came out and said, oh, I thought this investigation was a sham. Nobody did that. Nobody said, I'm going to refuse to sign these indictments, right? Lindsey Halligan's signature stands alone. That cheese stands alone on Jim Comey's indictment. Folks, you know, the facts are there for all to see. It's high time we actually engage with them meaningfully and in good faith for the sake of Republicans and Democrats, independents, and the folks that don't give a whit about the politics or politrics, as the case may be, for Ron Johnson and company. Thanks so much to former U.S. Attorney James Santel. When we come back, it'll be the 5 o'clock hour of sounding off. You get a chance to tell me what is on your mind and what's got you steamed these days. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Call us, text us, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. National Guard troops from Texas arriving in Chicago, but legal challenges on President Trump's deployment of troops to cities is ongoing. Despite legal challenges from leaders in Illinois and Portland, the president now threatening to invoke the Insurrection Act. Here's ABC's Louis Martinez.
Portland right now is in a major holding action because a federal judge essentially issued an emergency order preventing the activity of the 200 California National Guardsmen that had arrived there in Oregon. An additional 200 Oregon National Guardsmen have been in training now for about a week or so before they were called in. Both of those actions are now on hold.
The government shutdown spilling into a second week. Senate lawmakers could vote on another stopgap measure tonight. It's been 2 years since Hamas carried out the October 7th attacks, with 1,200 killed, more than 250 taken hostage. In Egypt, talks continuing today between Israel and Hamas on the U.S.-Gaza peace plan to end the war. This is ABC News.
Farm News.